Well, we are continuing our study on the subject of faith. And actually, before I go any further, we have a little, we've been passing out little note handouts or whatnot during this series. And so we have them actually on your tables this time. So they are right under the offering bucket. You can lift that up and each and every person can grab one. If you're here in the seats, if my ushers, if you guys don't have one, the tables around you may have one. My ushers will get you one as quickly as they possibly can. And you guys can, we can all follow along with these notes. And Pastor Luke and I have been doing this because we really want the young adults here at Shift to get a hold of the subject of faith. And not just like, oh, that's a cool message, that's a cool thing, faith. Oh yeah, I got faith, you got faith, let's all praise the Lord or whatever. But that you actually have a good understanding of it. We want to enable, not that Pastor Joe or Pastor Luke knows everything there is to know about faith, but we want to enable you and empower you as much as we possibly can to do exactly what the Bible says, and that is to live by faith, okay? Not to sleep by faith, not to eat by faith. No, we're talking about this is your life, okay? So this is important, all right? So we've entitled this message Faith Basics, and we've been discussing the ABCs of faith. Basics and ABCs. Why, Pastor Joe? Why basics? Why ABCs? Because you know what? It's going to take you understanding the fundamentals, the basic principles, the ABCs, if you will, before you can reach the heights that God wants you to reach. All right? All right. Think about it now, because when you went to school, when you started off in preschool and kindergarten, they didn't start teaching you calculus. Right? What did they start off with? That's right, numbers, all right? They didn't even teach you how to count. They taught you, okay, this is what the number 2 looks like, and this is what the number 3 looks like, and then the 1, and it comes before the 2, and the 2, and, okay? And then you went to addition, subtraction, all right? And so each thing that you learned became the foundation or the step to get you to the next level, right? Until the point you got into high school, college, and you're doing calculus, and you're doing things that, God bless you, I hope I never have to do again for the rest of my life. No, I'm just kidding. All right, so... It's going to take, what we're saying is you've got to understand the basics, the principles first. And if I could say this to you too, I know in my life, I believe that each and every one of you in here, I'm not going to have you raise your hands or anything, but all of us have encountered times in our life where, you know what, let's just be honest, it was difficult to live by faith. For whatever reason, because of the pressures, because of how about this, we just simply didn't quite understand what it meant to live by faith, exactly what God expected of us. And so here God is expecting you to live by faith. And how discouraging is it that every time you go try to live by faith, you get stuck? I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm supposed to go. I got this pressure. I don't know how to deal, how to deal with. And so I know I'm belaboring the point a little bit here, but the principles, these ABCs, which really, even though Pastor Luke and I got from college, they're from the Word of God. And I believe today, in fact, I know because it's taking place in my own life, that when I found a difficult time living by faith, I could go back over these ABCs and it would provide the answers that I needed to get me on my way, to get me unstuck. Can I get an amen today? Thank God that God's Word gets us unstuck and gets us on our way. Anybody here want to be stuck? Thank you for those no's. That's right. We want to get on our way. All right. So, let me say this too, and I'm, man, time. We always need more of it. But let me say this too. I don't want to get off track, but you've heard Pastor Luke emphasize the fact that we want to teach faith as opposed to preach faith. Today you might say, Pastor Joe, is there a difference? There is, actually. All right, preaching and there is a difference. And actually, if the guys in the back, if you guys, we don't have to turn there just yet, but Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, the Bible actually shows that Jesus did both. He preached and he teached. He preached and he taught, okay? The Bible, it makes a distinction. There is a difference, okay? It says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people, okay? When somebody's going to go share the word of God, when somebody's going to share the word of God and they are going to preach, that basically that means they're going to proclaim or they're going to declare God's word to the listener, All right. And oftentimes preaching, declaring, proclaiming, it's a very powerful message. It comes across and it inspires the hearer. It encourages the hearer. It lifts them up when they may be hanging down. It breaks the chains. Okay. We need to hear from people who preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to hear people call and say, hey, listen, greater is he than that is in you than he that is in the world. Hey, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And I got good news for you today, because if you're sick in your body, by his stripes. Come on. Come on now. I know it's funny, but it's good. By his stripes, you are healed. And all of a sudden you get unstuck and get on your way. Then there's times where people, whether it's here at church or friends or family, you go to share the word of God and you teach the word of God. And the word teach, the word preach, proclaim, the word teach means to explain. All right, so to explain what the Bible is trying to say, to explain to you how to put it to practice in your life. Maybe you could look back over your own life and you could see times where, you know, I was just at church and I was so inspired and that was so amazing. And then you went about your week and you're like, oh my God, but how does that work with this? You need somebody to come in. You need somebody to come and do some explaining. And so I guess I wanted to say that to you. Because Pastor Luke and I, we're really focusing on explaining. Now, sometimes people, they fall asleep, they get bored, when explaining goes on. But let me encourage you, there's an anointing for both. God has anointed people to preach and to teach the word of God. And you know what, if you'll decide and make a decision right now, purpose in your heart, you know, I'm going to pay attention, you'll find God speaking to your heart, even though we may not be shouting and bringing the house down in shift tonight. Amen. So, faith basics, we've been talking about the ABCs of faith. Let's recap real quick before we get on to our point. The ABCs of faith, we're doing A through F. So far, Pastor Luke has covered letters A and B, all right? Let's do a recap. Letter A was what faith is. What faith is? Can anybody tell me what faith is? A persuasion. Oh, very good. A firm persuasion. Are you reading off my notes? Cheating. All right, no, I'm just kidding. All right, okay, let's do it. A persuasion, a firm persuasion, a conviction based upon what you've heard. All right, and I like this one. That's right. Faith is just simply what you believe. Just simply what you believe. You'll find that the Bible interchanges the word believe or belief oftentimes with the word faith. It's the same thing, all right? And so that'll be the one I refer to most. I think that's probably the one that's easiest to understand, the one that kind of sums them all up. But faith is just simply what you believe. If I came up to you today and I said, hey, Mike, what do you believe about Jesus Christ? And Mike was, sorry, you know what, Pastor Joe, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Pastor Joe, I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. Pastor Joe, I believe that on the third day he rose again. What Mike is expressing is his faith. He's just located his faith. So if you want to locate the faith that you have, just ask yourself the question, what do I believe? And now you've located the faith that you have. Man, I'll tell you what, I was in like a year through Bible college before I figured that one out. I was like, oh my God, it's easy. I had too many people telling me faith is like this hand that reaches out of the natural into the supernatural and it pulls into it. I'm thinking like hand. Jesus, but it's really simple. What you believe, that's your faith, all right? And then B is how faith comes. Can anybody tell me how faith comes? Don't worry, I won't tell Pastor Luke. No, just kidding. No, what? Okay, that's right. I heard some people say faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's Romans 10:17, actually. Faith does. It comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the word of God. All right, so you could say it this way. Faith comes from hearing the word of God. Is everybody okay with that? Faith, believing, comes from hearing the word of God. Or at least, let me say this to you. At the very least, if you want the beliefs established in you that God would have established in you, then it's going to have to come from the word of God. Okay, because you could easily change that verse and just say faith comes by science. So faith comes by hearing and hearing by science. I'm not picking on science, but when science contradicts the word of God, I got to go a different way. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by my college professors who oppose the word of God. You can actually have faith established in your heart based on what they say. But if you want God's the beliefs that God would have you to have with established in your life, you're going to have to be based on the word of God, all right? So that's what the Bible is emphasizing. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Now, we also found out that there's this underlining principle that must be present in your life in order for you to form faith, in order for you to establish a belief, take on a conviction, obtain a persuasion, and that is that you not only have to hear, but you have to accept what you've heard as the truth. There's a part in John where the Bible says that the people who heard, they certified what he said as truth. Some of you are looking at me like, okay, so let me do this. When I was a little boy, I had my mom came up to me around Christmas time. How many of you guys looking forward to Christmas? Woo-hoo. I like Christmas. Anyways, and she came up to me and she said, son, I want you to, listen, I want you to know that I will always tell you the truth. As much as depend on, as best as I know, I want you to know from the time that you're a boy to the time you become an adult, your mom will do the best job to always tell you the truth, okay? And I want you, and so this is not like it's so serious, but I'm going to start off by telling you the truth about Santa Claus. He's not real, all right? And I didn't have an opinion about Santa Claus. I mean, I'm at the time, but, and she said, listen, Santa Claus is not real. There's no jolly guy in a red suit flying around with reindeer and a sled and dropping down people's chimneys and bringing them gifts if they're nice as opposed to naughty, okay? I want you to know that because, again, from the time you're a child, I want you to know I will always tell you the truth. Now, Joey, your friends, they're going to believe in Santa Claus, all right? Don't go tell them that there's no Santa Claus. Just let them do what they, and don't tell their parents that they're, and their parents aren't being mean. They're just having a fun relationship with their, okay? And now listen to me. I'm not telling anybody here, if you want to do the other thing, you want to tell your kids that Santa Claus is real, that's wrong, okay? You're just lying, that's all. No, I'm just kidding. But please hear me. That's just the way my mom chose to approach parenthood, okay? But I want you to see something because there's an important lesson in this. Because all of a sudden, I'd be out around my friends and they'd be talking about Santa Claus. And I'd be around, you know, if I went over there to spend the night or something, be at the dinner table and their parents would say, you better knock it off. You better eat your food if you want Santa to bring you gifts, you know? And I'd sit there like, Santa's not real. And then, lo and behold, I'd have family members come up to me who didn't know what my mom had told me and try to convince me that Santa was real, okay? I never established any faith in my heart, any belief, any conviction, any persuasion in my heart in regards to Santa Claus. Why? I didn't accept what my family had to say as truth. Pastor Joe, your mom told you. Okay, yes, because my mom told me. But when people come up and try to convince me, I did never establish any faith in Santa like my friends who did establish faith in Santa. You guys following me? Because I didn't accept what they had to say as truth. All right, so you kind of flip it around now. If you want to obtain faith, you're going to have to find out what God has to say, and then you're going to have to accept it as truth. Say, you know what, I believe that to be true. You know, I have friends who've gotten saved who have a hard time living life as Christians because they have a hard time believing that this is the truth. Well, you know, it was written by men, and so it's got to have mistakes. And you know, really, could Noah really fit all the animals on the boat? I don't know. You know, and so they have a hard time living. Why? Because they're not accepting what they're hearing as the truth. All right, everybody fine? All right, so now we move on to letter number. I almost said the same thing as Pastor Luke. Letter number C. All right. We're moving on to C now. All right. So you have what faith is. You know what it is, right? You know how it comes, how to acquire it, how to obtain it, how to get it in your life. And today you have to know C is that faith must be released with an emphasis on must. Faith has to be released. The faith that you establish in your life, it's not going to do you any good until you release it, all right? Let me say it to you like this. Faith, or a belief, a conviction, a persuasion, even though it's based on the word of God, in and of itself does not have the power or the ability to change your circumstance. Does not have the power or the ability to bring about the change you may need in your life. Faith all by itself, it ain't gonna cut it, all right? Everybody follow me? All right, now I want you to see this in the Word of God. Don't just take Pastor Joe's word for it, but let's go to the Word of God. So if you brought your Bibles today, let's go to James chapter 2, and let's look at verse number 14. Faith. Man, bless God, Pastor Joe. I believe that that God will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on me if I'm faithful to my tithes and offerings. It's an amazing belief. God's going to bless me. But actually, that in and of itself will not cut it. All right, James chapter 2, verse number 14. James comes along and he says this, talking about faith. He says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works?" Now notice for a moment that the Bible just asked you and me a question. Oh my gosh, Pastor Joe, the Bible does that? The Bible asks questions. I thought the Bible knows everything. It does, but it asks a question for the purpose of getting you to figure out the answer, and when you figure out the answer, a great truth will be brought to light, all right? So when you come across a question in the Bible, answer it. Okay? All right. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? What's the answer? If you said nothing, you got the answer right. All right? One more time, and I'm going to finish the whole verse this time, because he gets a little bit more pointed in what he's trying to say. He says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him?" Now think about this question for a moment. Can faith save someone? That's right. The answer is no. The answer is no. If you look at verse number 17, he gets a little bit more pointed. Same chapter, verse number 17. "Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." Wow. Verse number 20. "But do you want to know?" Do you really want to know the truth? Oh, foolish man. "That faith without works is dead." Another word, another definition for the word dead here is useless. So all of a sudden now we see faith all by itself is unprofitable, is dead, is useless. All right, let's go to one more, verse number 26. "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Just having the proper beliefs formed within you will not bring about the change that you need to take place in your life. All right, now let's go a little bit further here. All right, go back to verse number 14 with me. I want you to see this. Verse number 14. "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him?" The word "save" here in the Greek is the word sozo. All right, you don't have to remember that. But the word sozo means this. It means to save. All right, we got that part. It means to keep safe and sound. Talking about protection a little bit here. It means to rescue from danger or destruction. It means even to restore to health. Okay, now let's take these definitions real fast and let's put them in this verse. Can faith save him? What did you say the answer was? That's right. We found out the answer was no. All right. Now let's change it a little bit. Let's add this definition. Can faith keep him safe or sound? No. Answer is no. Okay. We're just changing the word "save" and using its other definitions. Everybody following me so far? Can faith protect him? No. Okay. Can faith rescue him from danger or destruction? Can faith restore him back to health? No. Okay, so I know I'm belaboring the point here a little bit more, but faith by itself is not going to do you any good, all right? Well, Pastor Joe, then why are we even talking about faith? If faith doesn't, because actually you do need it. It's very vital. But just having faith alone is not going to do you any good. All right, Pastor Joe, then if faith alone doesn't do me any good, what do I need to add to faith? Does anybody know? You guys are so smart. What? I don't even need to preach this. No, I'm just kidding. No, I do. Okay. That's right. James tells us, look at verse number 14 again. He says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works?" Okay, verse number 17. "Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." Right? All right, let's go verse number 20. "But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead. Verse number 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Question, if faith without works is dead, what is faith with works? Alive. That's very good. All right. Look at verse number 26. Let me ask it to you this way. The body without the spirit is? What is the body with the spirit? Therefore, faith without works is, but faith with works is. That's right. Faith coupled together with works will bring about the change that you need to take place in your life. Faith coupled together with works. All right, Pastor Joe, that's really cool. What are works? Jamal looking at my notes. No, I'm just kidding. That's what they're there for. That's right. What are Pastor Joe, I got this whole faith thing. I understand. I know what faith is. It's a belief. It's a conviction. It's a persuasion. But what about works? What does the Bible mean that I need to have when it says I need to have works? What does that mean? Works means, Pastor Joe, does that mean that I need to have faith and go get a job? Otherwise, God's not going to heal me? No. What it means is that you're going to have corresponding action to your faith. You're going to have actions that match up with what you believe. All right? When you, again, this is the good news. The moment, in fact, I'll say it like this, because the moment that you couple corresponding action to your faith is the moment God goes to work on your life, is the moment that things begin to change, whether you see them or feel them or not. Faith with works is alive, is powerful, and will do great and mighty wonders in your life. Is anybody here this evening? Thank God. All right. Let me take you to John chapter 12, verse number 42. John chapter 12, verse number 42. Because I want you to see, I want you to see some stories in the Bible of these things actually taking place. And just how powerful your faith can be when it's coupled together with corresponding action. Works, okay? All of a sudden now, we're about to read a story, okay? Now, actually, you're going to see actually all the ABCs of faith take place here that we've talked about so far. Because all of a sudden, we come across a story here where Jesus is preaching the gospel of the kingdom, okay? He's preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and the Bible says that that of the people that were there, some of the rulers believed. Some of the rulers believed. In other words, they heard Jesus. They accepted what he had to say as truth. And the belief, the conviction, the persuasion, however you want to call it, was formed in them that, hey, you know what? This man really is the Son of God. This man, he really is who he says he is. But then all of a sudden, they put no corresponding action to the faith, that wonderful faith that was formed in their heart, and as a result, no change takes place in their life. Now, Pastor Joe, I get it. Can we move on? No, you need to understand today that you can have all the faith in the world. You don't act on it. You don't put course. Your faith is not going to do you any good. All right? So John chapter 12, verse number 42. The Bible says this. It says, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. Capital H, talking about Jesus. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. So all of a sudden now, they formed this belief within themselves that, you know what? Jesus, he is the Christ. He is the Son of God. He really is who he says he is. Okay? But then the Bible says that, but they chose not to confess him. In other words, they didn't put corresponding action together with what they believed. And what happened as a result? No change took place. See, what God was actually looking for to happen, what God actually wanted to happen was for Jesus to not only go there and preach the gospel and them to say, you know what, and for them to establish that belief in their heart that, you know what, he is the Son of God. But he wanted them to then turn and say, you know what, he is the Son of God and I believe in him. And you want to know what happened? What would have happened the moment that they said that? They would have moved out of the camp of the Pharisees into the camp of Jesus Christ. They would have moved out of the camp of error and sin and wrongdoing into the camp of the Lord Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. We're talking about some serious change here. We're talking about the moment they confessed, yeah, they would have got kicked out by the Pharisees, but they would have got kicked into the kingdom of God. Hello, somebody. If they would have put action to their faith. But notice what happened right here. They believed they had all the faith that they needed in the entire world and did nothing with it. And as a result, they stayed right where they were. All right? So faith, your faith has to be released. Number two today, your faith is released by two vehicles. I want you to know not only that, okay, I got it, Pastor Joe. Faith must be released. In other words, faith has to have corresponding action. And the moment that I couple those two together, change is going to take place in my life. That's great. All right, but I want you to know today the two ways you can put corresponding action to your faith, the two ways that we find in the Word of God, so that when you leave here today, you think, oh my God, that's so great, I put corresponding action. Wait, what do I do? All right, so faith is released by two vehicles. Today, faith is released by the first vehicle, the first corresponding action, the first work, however you want to say it. All right, the first work the first vehicle is that faith is released by what you say. Faith is released by what you say. Notice here that the story we just talked about, the Bible says they did not confess him. What does confession mean? That's right, to speak. All right, the second vehicle by which you can release your faith is by what you do. By what you do. All right, now I know this is real simple, but you know what, guys? The bottom line is that most Christians today, I would say upwards of 90%, do not understand these truths. Or at the very least, they understand them in theory. They would agree with you when you say them, but they don't really practice them in their life because they really don't know them. Does that make sense to you? Okay, to the three of you, amen. Okay, so faith is released by what you say. Number one, first vehicle, and what you do. Okay, now I want to take you to Romans chapter 10, verse number 10. Romans chapter 10, verse number 10, and it's we're gonna show you how almost the exact same scenario that happened with the story we just read actually happened in your life. How many of you here today are Christians? You are born again, a new creation in Christ Jesus, unashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. I don't see, there's a lot of hands right here. Don't worry, we're going to get you saved. I'm just kidding. And they're like, oh no. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, you guys. I'm teasing you. Okay. Romans chapter 10. Because the same thing took place in your life. And I want you to see the change that took place in your life as a result of you putting action to your faith. Romans chapter 10. It says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness. With the heart one faiths. Unto righteousness. With the heart, one establishes a conviction about righteousness, unto righteousness. But watch what it says next. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. The moment you confessed was the moment that you got saved. All right, so let me help break it down for you. Because how many of you got saved here at this church? Wow, that's amazing. All right, so check it out. Wow, anyways. So let me describe for you what happened, because you may not understand what happened. Because one day somebody stood up in a pulpit somewhere and said, hey, listen, you need to give God all of your heart and all of your life. This is your call, your choice. You need to, if you think you can hope your way, and if you think you can think your way, and if you've been backslidden, if you think you could be, you need to get saved. You need to give God all your heart and all your life. So on the count of three, if you need to get saved, you get your hand up. One, two, three, bam! Okay, what happened before the bam was that you said, you know what? That's true. Jesus is who he says he is. I need to get right with him. So what did you do? You started to put corresponding action to your faith. When the preacher said, bam, you raised your hand. Then you got your little self out of your chair and you walked the aisle and you stood here in front. You followed some strange people to the back room, scared for your life. No, I'm just kidding. And they led you in a prayer. Everybody bow your heads with me, close your eyes, repeat this after me. Dear Jesus, forgive me of, no, I have to actually do it. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins, come into my heart can come into my life. Be Lord, I thank you now. I'm headed for heaven. And the moment that you confessed was the moment you got born again, was the moment that a change took place in your life. I like how the Bible says it. You got moved out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Out of the king, you were delivered, the Bible says. Me and Chris were just talking about, you were delivered, because when you couldn't deliver yourself, when you were beaten up, you were just a mess. You might have been bloody. I don't know. Busted and disgusted. That's what I meant to say. And you couldn't get yourself where you needed to go. God came along and delivered you and moved you over into the kingdom of light. Thank God that we may proclaim his praises. The moment that you put action to your faith, for with the heart you believed and with the mouth confession was made unto salvation. All right. So you see right here, what was the vehicle that released your faith? What you said, according to this verse, what you said. All right. Now listen, everybody's been here before when people raise their hand and they didn't come forward. What does Pastor Jim say? You don't get saved just by raising your hand. He doesn't say it like that. That's how I feel like he says it. I'm like, okay, I'll just do it. That's good. All right, I'll come forward. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so according to this verse, you believe with your heart, you confess with your mouth unto salvation. That's the first vehicle, by what you say. All right, second vehicle is by what you do. Go with me to Matthew chapter 14. Here's another story. Here's another story I want you to see. Maybe a familiar story to you. May not be, but Matthew chapter 14. We'll start reading with verse number 22. I'm going to kind of read it fast so that we can get through all of this today. Matthew chapter 14, verse number 22. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent them the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was there. He was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost! And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. All right, so what actually happened? All of a sudden now you, in the disciples' defense, if you were out in the middle of the sea and you saw something you didn't recognize walking on the water, there's something weird going on, all right? So they're like, oh, God, it's a ghost, all right? But then Jesus said, hey, no, it's me. Don't be afraid. All right, it's me. The moment he said it's me, Peter says, oh, my gosh, that's Jesus walking on the water. And Peter has a belief in his heart. Peter's belief is that's Jesus and he's walking on the water. And if I can get him to ask me to come to him, I'm going to walk on the water too, all right? Peter now has a choice whether he's going to put action to his faith. So he does. So he says, Jesus, if that's you, command me to come to you on the water, and I'll come walking on the water. So what does Jesus do? Come. All right. How many of you have ever asked to do something, and when it came around to actually doing it, you're like, what did I get myself into? I remember as a teenager, I thought, oh, my God, that roller coaster is amazing. And then by the time I got up to the front of the gate where the door's about to open, I was like, oh, my God, I don't have to go on it. I remember I'm sitting down in the seat before the thing comes down. I still don't have to go on it. And then I remember when it comes down, thinking like, oh, my God, if this thing comes up, I'm going to grab this. I'm going to. All right. So Peter had this belief. If I get Jesus to tell me to come to him, I'm going to walk on the water. So what did Jesus say? He says, come. Question. If Peter didn't get out of the boat, would he have ever walked on water? Duh, Pastor Joe. But think about that. He had to put corresponding action to his faith. But here's the cool part. Because the moment that he did, the very power of God went to work in his life. So much power that a man defied the laws of nature. From one word from God, that's good. One word from God will change it. Or just the word, come. Just But at the moment that he obeyed, the moment that he put corresponding action to his faith was the moment he defied the laws of nature and he walked on the water. All right, you guys follow me? So he, in this case, he had to do something. Get out of the boat. What does God ask you to do? Get out of your boat. And just because the moment that you do, the power of God, the grace of God will go to work in your life and cause you to do what you never thought possible. Amen. It's good. All right, so faith, it must be released. All right, because faith by itself ain't going to do me any good. All right, that means, what does it mean to release? It means I have to put corresponding action or works. Okay, I'm going to have to put a vehicle of saying something or doing something. And the moment I do is the moment things begin to change in my life. Whether I see them change, whether I feel them change, whether I think they're changing or not, that's what the Bible says. That's what I'm going to believe. This is what I'm going to do. Amen. All right. Point number three today is that your words or actions must be the result of your own personal belief. What we're trying to say today is we don't want you to just go try things because somebody else did them and seemingly got a result. All right? I remember there's a guy back when I was in Bible college, and he was a famous minister, and not a famous minister, but a well-known minister. All right? And he'd go around, and he'd say, you know what? You want God to provide for you, you just need to say, money cometh, and it will come to you. And I kid you not, this man, God would provide it. Of course, he was obedient to God's word. He would be tithing, all right? But he'd say, money cometh, and he'd get money. Now, so what do we have? We had a bunch of Christians going around, money cometh. Yeah! Okay? But they didn't hear what he heard or read what he read from the word of God that established the beliefs necessary to do that. So what did? They went out trying this thing, and it didn't work. Well, see, what happens when you don't, when you just try things because other people do them, all of a sudden you come along, you hear a testimony, oh my gosh, I gave God, God spoke to my heart and he told me to give $100, so I gave $100, and the next day I got a check in the mail for $1,000. So what do people start doing? Oh, $100 right now. Bring me the offering bucket in Jesus' name. I'm going to get my $1,000. And they just start trying things because somebody else did them. Are you hearing me today? That is not the way faith is supposed to work. If you live life like that, then what you're going to do is you're going to try one thing one day, and you're going to try something else the next day, and then you're going to try something else the third day because you don't feel like you did on the first 2 days. And you will never be established in anything, and you will never receive anything from God. You're all over the place. Is everybody following me today? The way that faith works is that a belief is first formed in your heart, and then as a result of that belief, action or words come. Okay? Imagine if the other disciples like, dang, he's walking on the water, and they just jump out of the boat. They're going down. All right? They didn't have the same beliefs. They needed to establish the same beliefs. Now listen to me, because if they would have said, you know what? I saw what Peter did, and I believe that. Jesus, I want to walk on the water too. Tell me to come. And Jesus said, come. Then they, okay. So I'm not telling you not to, because testimonies of other people are absolutely encouraging. And the Bible says, because what you see take place in their life will take place in yours if you do what they did. What did they do? They said, money cometh. Money. No. They got around the word of God. They had God speak to their heart. From the word of God, they got a belief established, and they acted or spoke as a result of that belief, and something took place in their life. Praise God. All right? Amen. All right, so let's go to the word of God again. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 13. You know, if you guys can just put it up there, let's go a little bit quick here. You have the notes, and so I'm going to try to cut down on time here a little bit. It says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, the same spirit of belief, believing, the same spirit of conviction, of persuasion, according to what was written, what is written? I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and as a result, speak. All right? So, let me say this to you, because some Christians, you know, they're, you go to a Christian bookstore and you get these confession books. Anybody have one of those? Don't raise your hand. No, they're not bad. Okay, they're not bad. But what I want you to understand is if you're confessing what those confession books tell you to confess and you don't believe them, it can do you any good. You've gone now to the other side of the spectrum. First, we were talking about faith without works. Now you got works with no faith. All right? All right, everybody following me? The way that it works is first, the belief formed on the word of God. Put action to it. Something takes place in my life. All right, Romans chapter 10, verse number 10. You guys can just pop it up. We're already there. What does the Bible say? Come first. Comes first. Huh? Almost. You're right, but... All right, yeah, maybe I didn't specify enough. That's my fault. All right, for with the heart one what? Believes unto righteousness. And then what happens? The mouth confesses unto salvation. So what happens first? The belief happens first. Then, all right, now I want you to see another powerful truth. Turn with me now to James chapter 3, verse number 2. James chapter 3, verse number 2. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. So if you can control your tongue, you can control your body. Let me say it to you like this. Now listen, listen. You're gonna have to. In other words, the tongue bridles the body. Do you see that? Okay. Let me read on because some of you are kind of like. All right. Okay. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. You know what the Bible's talking about? A bit. You know, you pull on the reins because that metal piece is in their mouth. And as strong and as great as their body is, you get to tell it where to go. All right. The Bible's saying the same way. You control your tongue, you can control your body. Amen. That'll preach. Okay. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot dies. What is he saying? That this little thing called the tongue, just like a bit and just like a rudder, will guide your life. All right? So the tongue bridles the body. Question: what bridles the tongue? That's right. If you said faith, you got it right. And because you looked at my notes, you little cheaters. I'm just kidding. Okay. Let's go with me to James chapter 1, verse number 26. James chapter 1, verse number 26. Watch what he says now. If anyone among you thinks he is religious, what does it take to be religious? You have to have some beliefs formed within you. Isn't that right? All right. If anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Are you seeing this? So the tongue controls the body. What controls the tongue? What God wants to control your tongue are your beliefs. Are you following me? Your beliefs are to govern what you think, what you say, and what you do. All right, so next time you're walking down the street, and the devil's like, you're nothing but a nasty old... And you're like, I'm nothing but a nasty old... You're not letting your beliefs govern what you think. Because you should be like, no! My Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have come new. And you know what else, devil? I'm not under the law, but I'm under grace, and therefore sin ain't got no dominion over me. The past of the past is long dead and gone, and so I'm not going to let you beat me up in my mind. I'm going to tell you how it goes, because my beliefs govern what I think and what I'm saying right now and what I'm about to do. I'm about to kick your little butt. Your beliefs are supposed to bridle your thoughts, All right. Point number four today, and we're done. Size isn't the issue. When it comes to faith, it's not about size. Pastor Joe, but Jesus came along to his disciples, and he said, oh, you of little faith. So I don't want to be little faith. You don't know what you're talking about, Pastor Joe. I want to be big faith. That's not actually what Jesus... Oh, my gosh. I listen back to my messages sometimes. I'm like, oh, my God. Okay. But when it comes to faith, size isn't the issue, you guys. And this is important. In other words, You don't have to know everything there is to know about the Bible to live by faith. You know, when I read the stories, how many of you actually went and read about the story of the woman with the issue of blood? How many of you are familiar with, she had a period for 12 years nonstop. And you notice the Bible says? It got worse over time. I'm just going to leave that alone. All right? But this woman, the Bible says, the Bible says about this woman that when she heard of Jesus, what did she hear? She heard people come along saying, oh my God, there's this man, and his name is Jesus. And one time this blind man, he came up to him, and he said that I would receive my sight. And Jesus said, yeah, according to your faith, let it be done. And the man got to see, and the lame walk, and the deaf hear, and the mute, they speak. And you know what? It's so powerful because the Bible, I know this because the Bible says this. But Jesus goes walking around, and there's so many people around him that they can't get to him, but power is just going out of him, and people are just like, oh my God, I'm healed. Oh my God, my arm's back. Oh my God. If you just get around Jesus, and so you know what the Bible says? She formed a belief within her heart. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. So she heard, she accepted what she heard is truth, and then she put some action to her faith. She climbed through that crowd, she touched the hem of his garment, and the Bible says that Jesus, knowing that power went out of him, said, who touched me? Oh my God. I did, I'm sorry. Great is your faith. You know, your faith has made you whole. All right? All right? Question. Do you think that this woman knew everything there was to know about Jesus Christ? Do you think this woman had one single verse of the Bible memorized? No, the New Testament hadn't even been written yet. It's not about the size. It is about putting action to your faith. In other words, I'm going to get ahead of myself. Now, let's go to Luke chapter 17. You got to see this. Luke chapter 17, because let's go to one of these instances where Jesus tells them, oh, you of little faith. Luke chapter 17, verses number 5 and 6. And this will be our last verse for today. Luke chapter 17. Okay, Luke 17, verse number 5, it says, and the disciples said to the Lord, increase our faith. So they're like, we need more. It needs to be bigger. All right? Now, just to give you background of the story so you understand what's going on, Jesus just told them, you know what? If somebody sins against you and repents, forgive them. In fact, if they do it 7 times 70 in a single day, you got to forgive them. And they're like, oh, my God, increase our faith. Anybody ever felt like that? You do me wrong one time, I'll forgive you. You do it twice, I'm going to kill you. I already forgave you once, No, I'm just kidding. All right? And so you can imagine how they felt. Seven times 70. They're like, yeah, right. All right? God, increase our faith. Watch what Jesus' response is. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed. You want to know how big a mustard seed is? Can you guys see that? No, that's the point. That's how small a mustard seed is. If you have faith as a mustard seed, watch what happens. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can what? You can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. It's not about the size. It's about what you do with your faith. And if you will release it, I don't care how much you got, it will bring about change in your life. Is anybody hearing me today? Thank God today. All I got to do is do what Jesus said, whether I know everything or not, and bless God, something's going to happen to me. Amen. If you got something good from God's word, go ahead and give him a great big praise.